Right, and we'll need Marshall to lead us into the new world. Okay. Okay, with that, we'll call the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors for Thursday, January 4th, 2024, the first of the new year to order. Please join me for the flags.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Forcroy.
I'm here.
Director Gatchel. Director Womack.
Present.
Vice President Ohilski, President Sesenia.
I'm here. Okay, with that, we'll move on to agenda item two, the election of president and vice president for 2024. This is the way we traditionally handle the succession among the board. Each year, board selects a new president and vice president at the January board meeting to facilitate the process. Section 1.4 of the board's bylaws and rules of decorum states, the board president and board vice president shall be elected annually at the first regular meeting of each calendar year. The board vice president shall become board president the following year after his her election, borrowing a 4/5 vote to preclude said promotion. So in accordance with the bylaws, the first action is to determine if the current vice president will move to the president's position. If there is consensus among the board members, no vote is necessary. If vote is necessary, nominations will be solicited. Staff will distribute ballots and the general manager will report out on the results. The second action is to select a vice president. Nominations will be solicited. If there is more than one candidate, ballots will be distributed and the general manager will report out on the results. Without the current vice president here at this moment, shall we move on to, can we move on to another agenda item?
Yeah, do that. Sorry. No.
Yeah, I mean, because it takes a 4/5 vote for the president not to take office, unless you three are voting against him, then we probably need to think about it. But I think you could do that one. And I think you can elect a vice president if you want. You've got a quorum here.
Oh, do we elect a vice president? Whoever's not here has to be vice president.
You know, I meant to send that message to Troy today.
And, you know, there has been a year since I've been here that we've delayed the election as well. I think that's a possibility as well. But what we might do, as you suggested, move this to the end of the agenda. And if
we have the fallback, we kind of know what's expected. I mean, it's in our bylaws.
Right.
And so if something has happened that Marshall can't be here for the moment, we're looking at vice presidential nominations would be the thing we need to take care of. And
can we just make Marshall vote for Marshall to be president?
And I think that's what I just heard.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, because I think that's.
Well, right. We're all, I think, ready for that.
Okay.
Unless anyone's opposed.
Is there any chance that Marshall doesn't want to do that?
The last communication I had with him is he was ready for it.
So we can. If there's consensus, we don't have to take
we're going to follow our bylaws.
Yeah, there's not even a vote required.
No. Yeah, we're going to follow our bylaws.
Okay. I'm good with
all. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
So the second action is to select a vice president. Nominations will be solicited. Pardon?
Tech, just a reminder, we do need to take public comment. So I don't know if you wanted to do that before we did the election.
Details. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate that.
So, would you like me to do that now?
Yes.
Currently, there is no one online for public comment. If you're in the boardroom and would like to make public comment, please come out to the podium.
Okay, we have no one in the boardroom to give public comment on this agenda item. So I think at this point, the second action item is what we need to move ahead with. Selection of a vice president. Chris, you haven't been president or vice president in a couple of years. I think Matthew was president last year.
He was.
Yeah. Troy's not here. I hate to do anything without talking to him about that. And so I'm going to nominate Chris. And if there's not more than one candidate, ballots will be distributed and the general manager will report out on the results.
So if there's only one, we don't need to vote.
Okay.
You good with that?
I'm fine with it. Part of me is thinking we should, I mean, Troy would never miss January meeting again.
Well,
but no, I'm happy with that.
He doesn't have a very legitimate reason for missing this meeting. It was not just to avoid any kind of promotion.
All right. Well, I would accept the nomination.
Good. I appreciate that.
So with that, I guess technically you can turn the meeting over to Chris.
To the vice president.
Oh, my goodness.
Public comment. Yes, thank you.
Okay. let's go for another round of public comment regarding the vice presidential nomination.
There is no public comment online. If you're in the boardroom and you'd like to make a public comment, please come up to the podium.
I think the only comment is thank you, Chris.
Welcome.
Okay. And with that, we'll turn it over to the vice president. You weren't ready for that.
Or should I just stay here?
It's up to you, wherever you're.
I'll stay here because I'll assume Marshall's coming.
Okay.
You can have this.
Though. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It wasn't really.
As long as you got the gavel, you're in control. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. All right. All right. I wasn't thinking about running the meeting, but that's okay. All right. So agenda item two is done. And then we have a presentation of our fiscal year 2022-2023 audit report.
We do not have our auditor tonight because of the holiday and her scheduling conflict. She will not be here, but she did attend our finance advisory committee. So any comments you want to make, Chris, maybe based on her comments from that, but I do have a brief presentation to run through.
I think the most relevant and pleasing finding was that they found no, and I wasn't prepared, so they had no adverse findings.
Right.
They don't guarantee anything, but they do checks to try to make sure everything looks good. And I think Ron's made sure we're as transparent as I've ever seen our financial reports. So I will let you.
I will run through my presentation.
Thank
and
you.
Always before I begin, I really want to thank our staff, Adrian, Laura, and Margaret, and especially Adrian. She does like a pre-audit before the auditors get here to ensure that everything is lined up and ready to go. And Laura and Margaret support with information. And our staff, they have to do inventories, they have to do other things. So anyway, it's a group effort and I really appreciate what they do. To kind of get into just some of the key points, of course, for people that love to read audits, it's actually a great document and it's fairly easy to read. And now after a few years of going through them, I'm very impressed with how the numbers come out for us. So the district's financial position did strengthen during last fiscal year by approximately $2.2 million, but this included about $850,000 of grant money. This was an increase for over last year by about $560,000. So that added to that $2.2 million. Property taxes performed as expected, and we all knew our water revenues were slightly lower by about $42,000. Fire and water reserves are healthy with about $2.5 million and $3.2 million respectively. Our governmental expenses did increase by about $294,000, but this was mainly due to an increase in our Schedule A charges and the changes that salary increases that that CAL FIRE experienced and then were passed down to us. Of course, we all know Fund 800 drainage required an interfund loan to assist in paying with the expenses from our Cabrillo Basin incident. And we also know that the district implant, these are things that kind of happened that were different from previous years, the district implemented a new investment strategy. So those are all key points so far. And this is kind of the slide where, as you alluded to, Chris, the audit and from the managers, my report, part of the report, and from the auditor, you know, we should be able to maintain positive trends with continued implementation of what we've been doing, our financial reporting, extensive mid-year reviews and adjustments and continually monitoring of all funds. And then the auditor, this is from the auditor, the results of our audit, our test disclosed no instances of noncompliance or other matters that are required to be reported under governmental auditing standards, and that the auditors did not find any deficiencies in internal controls that are considered material weaknesses, and there are no audit findings, which is important, or issues in need of correction associated with this audit. So those last two are kind of the key, I think you were getting at, Chris, that the auditor stressed when she did a presentation to the Finance Committee. And I did want to add that from our advisory committee, the Finance Advisory Committee, they did recommend that the board receive and file the 2022-23 audit, financial audit as presented. And I think that was my final one, and I can answer any questions.
All right, any comments or questions?
The current auditor has been with us 2 years, 3 years?
3 years.
3 years. Okay, and our accountant's been with us?
She, Adrian, started, she's probably been with us about seven.
Longer than just the current.
He started with auditors. The previous general manager.
And we've been getting good reports the last couple of audits.
Adrian
he's been around.
Yeah, has done a great job.
So much better than getting calls from the county auditor controller. Yeah.
Yeah, she's getting to be more seasoned. Yeah. Shall I open up for a public comment?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There is no public comment online.
All right, none in the boardroom as well. All right, do I hear a motion?
Yes, I recommend the board receive and file the fiscal year 2022-23 financial audit as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Good. All right. There are no general action items, so we will now take public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please come up to the podium.
Good evening.
Up here, wait a second.
Andrea. You're on. It's the speaker that's on.
I was going to say, I feel kind of like I'm in my living room today at this meeting, but anyway, I'm Andrea Luker. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I'm here tonight to introduce a new nonprofit to you called REACT. I'm a board member of REACT, and it basically stands for Responsible Energy Adaptation for California's Transition. The point of REACT is to work to educate the public regarding the offshore wind projects. The Central Coast, San Luis County offshore wind projects are moving along at a rapid, and we feel, quite frankly, too fast of a pace, especially based on the significant knowledge gaps that exist in offshore wind. The rapid pace is supported by various state and federal legislation, and unfortunately, some of that legislation has precluded local and regional public involvement and the ability to provide relevant input. Beginning in November, the nonprofit REACT began a strong campaign to attend and testify, giving public testimony at a number of meetings, including the California Coastal Commission in person. I think we had 12 people go up that day, December 5th-ish, the State Water Board and the State Lands Commission, as well as other local meetings to address the concerns regarding offshore wind. One example for you to get a feeling for what's going on is three offshore wind companies have leased areas off our coast that total almost 400 square miles, and each will be conducting site surveys through a permit that was approved by the California Coastal Commission in 2022. The site surveys use high decibel sound that damages and in some cases kills marine mammals and a variety of fish. And more specifically, the site surveys will require high resolution sonic equipment using 228 decibels. And that's an important number to remember because the threshold for hearing damage, masking, and stress reductions for many fish is 120 decibels, and death occurs in salmon at 219 decibels. Since December 2022, when similar site surveys for offshore wind began off the coast of New Jersey, 83 large whales and 369 small cetaceans, dolphins and porpoises, stranded themselves on the beach, died. This is 164% increase over the prior year. Keep in mind that these were animals that were just found, likely a fraction of what really passed. The relationship between the beginning of the site surveys and the significant increase in strandings is alarming and certainly not a coincidence. The West Coast, we have a great opportunity to learn from the horrific mishaps and failures of the East Coast projects. So a couple of to-dos. Visit our website, which is reactalliance.org. Tons of documents, scientific information that is helpful for education. Exert your pressure on local, regional, state, and federal representatives and let them know your concerns for the extreme lack of transparency on this project, on the permits that they're giving out, and also the supportive stance that some of them have taken. And then we encourage you to be part of the REACT Alliance. And I'll finish up. I've got 2 seconds.
Go ahead and finish.
The second Wednesday of the month, beginning at 6 p.m. at the Morro Bay Community Center. And on our website, we have a saying, basically, saving the planet does not mean destroying the ocean. So we look forward to your participation. And thank you. Have a good rest of your meeting.
Oh, thanks for sharing. Does anyone have any questions? Thank you for sharing your information.
No questions. Just thank you for involvement. You know, I mean, people, you just can't take for granted that things that are coming have to happen.
Oh, go ahead. Up to the podium. Are you wanting to speak?
Yeah, I have 3 minutes to speak.
Yes, and just and state your name for us, please.
Hi, I'm Mandy Davis, and I am president of REACT Alliance. And I'm going to try not to double down on any of the information that Andrea gave you. But REACT Alliance was formed and after literally years of research into this technology, the potential impacts not only to the environment, but to our economy and to basically the way of life that we have come to enjoy and love so much here, and especially in Los Osos. I love this place. It's a wonderful place. So, yeah, we are responding to the dearth of information that is out there. This is probably one of the most egregious examples of spinning by an industry and by the government on information to the public. It is being sold to the public as green, sustainable, and renewable. And quite honestly, if you were to look at the definition of all three of those words, it is none of those. It is an industry that has a huge, or, you know, the wind turbines themselves, yeah, you know, they basically have zero to no, you know, almost zero emissions. But the industry itself, including the industrialization of the ports, that is going to be mandatory for this area, and which is going to change the face of this community forever, is going to be, you know, is going to be run by huge machinery and being visited by incredibly large vessels to and from these offshore wind farms. And so the carbon footprint for this industry is really quite large. But what my really big emphasis is that we are being told locally that this is a done deal. This is not a done deal. I have actually heard Carbajal make that exact comment and tell people, oh, it's a done deal, don't worry about it. You know, you have absolutely no say in the matter anymore. This is how much of a done deal it is. There is only one permit out of probably 30 to possibly 32 permits that have to be permitted, and the entire project had to be subjected to. I would not call that a done deal. And what is really important is that the most damaging aspects of this project are the pre-construction aspects, the surveys, where they have sited this project could not have been in a worse place. It is smack dab in the middle of a major marine mammal and fish migratory pattern. It is right in the middle of a major migratory pattern for birds, and especially it's on the Pacific Flyway, and especially during the bird migrations. So I would suggest that you look at our website, take a look at the data that we have, understand how important it is for us as a community to say no to this industry and to speak up. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I think we have no further public comment in the boardroom. Let's move on to administrative and committee reports. Fire department, you have been busy.
Good evening. Yes, I have been busy, as you can tear my hairlines a little less than last time. But we'll go ahead and go with the statistical report. There's been a little bit of algorithm issues with our computing system and tabulating our statistics lately. But on the first page of our statistical report, the numbers for the medic squad, the orange numbers, are the most accurate numbers. We're hoping to get some of that kind of cleaned up here for the next round and going into the next year, and kind of adjusting some of the statistics that we're tracking and give you a more high quality report. So anyways, no vegetation fires for the reporting period, no vehicle fires. We had one structure fire. It was over in the Nevada court area. It was confined to a dryer, and the residents were unharmed and were able to get out, and just minimal damage to the structure. Four other fires, this can be your dumpster fires and debris fires. 132 medicals, two of them were CPR related, and four were vehicle accident related. 12 calls for hazardous conditions, and this can be gas lines, power lines down, stuff like that. Public assist, gas leaks, electrical evaluations, people that need help getting up off the floor, that type of thing. Six calls for rescue. We've been having a little bit of action out in the Montana de Oro area with both surf and cliffside rescue. So a little bit of uptick in that. Going on the second page of the report, aid given to other agencies. We helped the county area 9 times, and we helped the state area 9 times, which would be the Montana de Oro area. What I will say about the stuff with the statistic of our aid being given, one thing that we're looking at is the 9I area, and we are right now tabulating that as aid given, but we've also the county's contracted with us to provide service to that area, so we're looking at the actual language in that contract to make sure that statistic is accurate. Other agency aid to us, we got Morro Bay came over and helped us on our structure fire. Pismo came up to help us with one of the surf rescue calls. The county has been coming in to help us with some of our outlying areas and our rescue calls. And Slow City, I'm not sure what call they came in to help us on, but they popped up on this one. And then Station 23, our headquarters station, has been coming in to help us. So they came in 11 times. Going to our board report. So we conducted a 4-day academy for our new reserve firefighters. We hired 6. We've already unfortunately lost 1, so we're down to 5. So we have a total of 10 on the company right now. We did some paramedic integration skills. All of them are EMTs, so we're getting them used to being working with the paramedics, how to set up IVs, what the medications do, how to set up our cardiac monitor, things like that. Hose deployment, ladders, auto extrication, rope rescue, and structural firefighting. Took them out to our drill grounds, and we lit some fires for them to get them some exposure. We gave them we'll call Fire Control 3 class. So we all sit in the container. We light some Class A combustibles on fire, wood pallets and some hay. And we're able to give them some fire conditions so they can kind of see what's going on, give them that exposure. Most of them hadn't had that type of experience before. So good learning process. And then we were able to develop that into some scenario-based firefighting. So real good exposure. Looks like we got a good group. We have a new fire apparatus engineer, paramedic, Adrian Mao. He comes just from the Riverside unit. He used to work for San Luis Ambulance here locally, and he was in the application process to be a reserve firefighter before Riverside picked him up. So we reclaimed him. So he's on duty today. He's doing a real good job for us. He's going to be a good hand for us. We also participate in the Season of Hope in Operation Santa Claus. Community came out with a ton of toys, a lot of food. I think we were overflowing almost every day and had a constant flow of the support vehicles coming to pick up that stuff. So great job by the community. Going into our incidents, like I said, we had the structure fire in Nevada Court. It was confined to the clothes dryer. Everybody was safe. We had a paraglider down in Montana de Oro. He crashed on the beach. Just needed some help out of the area, so we helped extricate him out of the area, and he transported himself to the hospital. And then with the high surf, we've had several surfers in distress, Quarry Cove and Spooner's Cove. So I've been fairly active. If you're out there, stay away from the water for right now. I myself have been involved in several rescues here over the last week. So just stay away from the water, watch it from a safe distance. And we expect more swells coming in, and the forecast has got several out on the forefront. So just observe from a safe distance, please. It's not like what everybody's used to. I keep hearing this recurring theme of I've lived here for so many years. I'm telling you, I've seen it twice in my lifetime that I've lived here, and they were both El Nino years, and we're in an El Nino year. So just stay away from the water. With that, any questions?
Thanks, Chief.
All right. Have a good night.
I do want to thank you. A lot of us were on our holiday, and you guys are out saving people from the high surf.
Make sure
Chris, your microphone is off.
Oh, sorry. So I just want to thank you for all the hard work you do when the rest of us are on vacation. I think I saw a news report with you guys doing rescues from the high surf, and you know, I just want to express my appreciation.
Thank you.
I happened to hit Sandspit Beach maybe a month or so ago. There was a fatality. It wasn't due to high surf. I don't know what the cause was. But it's not just fire. You know, emergency services. You guys do everything for the community, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
All right. Sheriff's Department report.
Good evening. Happy New Year, Maya. It's Vice President, members of the board, and staff and public. For the month of December, in Los Osos, we responded to two reports of assault and battery. Those were both domestic violence related. There were 31 disturbance calls during the month, 15 general disturbances, 5 loud music complaints, 4 family disturbances, 3 neighbor disputes, 1 party complaint, and 1 fireworks call. We had 4 burglaries. 2 of those were residential burglaries. 1 was a burglary from a locked automobile. And then 1 was actually resolved as a civil issue between a landlord and tenant. There were 3 thefts, which included 1 stolen bicycle, 1 theft of funds from a debit account, and then 1 theft report that was unfounded. There were 3 vandalism reports. 1 was damage to a vehicle. 1 was damage to a business, and 1 was graffiti, I believe, over in the park. There was 1 mail theft reported in December in the 1900 block of 12th Street. There was 1 phone scam reported. And while we're on that topic, just today, there was another phone scam reported, and this has been going on for probably 2 or 3 months now. It's the scam where the scammers are claiming to be representatives of the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office, and that you've got some kind of a warrant. They're even leaving a callback number if you don't answer the phone. When you call that number, it identifies that you've reached the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office, and if it's an emergency, hang up and dial 911. Just leave your information. That's a spoofed number as well. So If you get a call like that, and if you make connection with anyone calling, representing themselves to be the sheriff's office, saying that you have a warrant for jury duty, missing jury duty, or anything like that, and that you can resolve it by paying fees, that is a scam. That's not how the warrant system works. The courts will send you a letter. And if you don't respond to the courts, then the sheriff's office will actually show up at your door and give you a lift over to the courts to have a conversation with them about it. There were 18 suspicious circumstance calls. There were 9 suspicious subjects, 6 suspicious circumstances, and 3 suspicious vehicles. The deputies that work in the Los Osos area in December conducted 65 enforcement stops. That included 2 bicycle stops, 6 pedestrian stops, and 57 vehicle stops. And they also engaged in 37 preventative patrol activities, which included 4 patrol checks, 15 on-site activities, and 18 foot patrols of various areas in the community during the month. That concludes my report, and I'm prepared for any questions.
Any questions from the board?
One comment. Being my own worst enemy, I kind of have to tell on myself now and then. I think I'm responsible for one of the complaints in your report, probably a loud music complaint. And I got to say, your staff, the officers who responded, were courteous, they were kind, they were respectful. We had a dialogue. Everything was wonderful. And I appreciate the fact that we live in a community where the interactions just, they're not tinged with, well, for me, it wasn't anything. Anyway, I appreciate the professionalism.
Well, that's excellent feedback. And I that's what I've come to expect from the staff that works for you here in the community. Mm-hmm. They are very approachable. They're very respectful. But at the end of the day, they are firm but fair.
That's what I got. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for your report.
All right. Thank you. And we'll see you again next month.
Yeah. All right. Do we have Highway Patrol online? I don't see anyone in here.
They are not online.
All right, moving along. Let's see, General Manager's report.
Yes, I did want to back up just for a second on the utility department updates, just because our water transmission phase of the project, we were successful of completing the boring under LOVR today. It took 3 days, 2 days to bore, 1 to pull pipe, and no disruptions.
Yeah. Wonderful. So that's very exciting.
It was very exciting. Us. So that project is winding down. That means we have water main from Napomo to Bay Oaks. They still have to do, of course, some pressure testing, back T testing, some other things, but the pipeline is in the ground. So that's pretty exciting. Just real quick on 16th Street North Tank project. They're doing some additional welding this week. During the sandblasting process, they found some pinhole leaks in the roof and that they have to repair. Nothing major, but it slows it down a little bit for finishing the outside of the tank. The interior is done, but we're getting very close on that. I'm saying in maybe 2 weeks and we'll be done with that one. And happy to say we finished the Skyline groundwater monitoring well projects. Those 2 wells are completed. We're really excited to have those added to our groundwater monitoring program. Just a couple of things on my general manager's report. I want to give a heads up that I'm participating in an update of the solid waste rate setting manual. The one that's currently being used, I think I've reported, has been around since 1994. So I'm working on a subcommittee that's updating that. And I'll keep you informed as we try to wrap that up, because we'll have a base year solid waste rate application coming this year that we'll have to go through. Just a real quick update. We did receive on the Cabrillo Stormwater Basin FEMA update. We did receive a technical report from our geotechnical consultant, Yay and Associates. Going through that right now, did get some cost estimations from them yesterday. So I'll be compiling that and kind of reporting out on what our next steps may be with that. We also have a hydrological study being done by M&S engineers, and I'm expecting that tomorrow, at least the first draft. So we still have some expenses going on. There's nothing to really report from FEMA. Haven't heard anything. Environmental review of what we submitted is holding up any payment. So I'm going to have to start being a little more proactive and pushing on that.
I think they let us know from the beginning that it takes a while to get reimbursed from FEMA. Right. I expect that.
Yeah, this one's relatively small and it should really be easy. And it's just U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's
moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah, exactly. An endangered snail's pace.
Well, I trust that you will be on them to get it done.
That concludes my report. Any questions?
I think one thing to just to add on about Cabrillo, the Cabrillo Basin, is just that for us to keep remembering that the fix we did is temporary. And we have to do something more.
And partial.
And this new study by Yay is a option.
Right.
And it might not be the option.
Absolutely.
It is a option.
Absolutely. It is the beginning of the discussion,
right,
in terms of what the final solution is going to cost and what it's going to be. Yeah.
So as we're getting these two last pieces, you know, an estimation for this type of repair, permanent repair, and this hydrological study, that give me enough information to take it to the next step in discussion with the county.
I did have a question about, you know, just a little bit of a report about our, I know we have the standard of cover. When is that coming out?
We'll get a draft here probably next week. I'm assuming we'll have something to you by the March meeting, a complete. We may have, maybe make February, but it'll probably be March.
Okay.
It's moving along quickly. Chief Province and I had a meeting with our consultant before Christmas to answer any last questions and go through the data. We have the data. So they're packaging that up into a report.
Okay, perfect. And then the other question I was going to ask you is about Schedule A. Is that process started for the year as it's supposed to, or where are we at?
Short answer, no, it has not started. I contacted the county administrative person before Christmas, and they had been working with the unit chief, Chief Owens, on information, and we were going to circle back right about now. I haven't heard back.
Okay.
But I'll be pushing that because they are aware that we're supposed to be negotiating Schedule A starting now, this right. month.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they honor their end of that.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Do we have anyone for Chamber of Commerce? I think normally Marshall would do that. Okay. And next would be... Finance Committee, is that next? Me?
Well, we have...
Did I miss something?
Yeah, we have LOCAC.
That's written.
Yeah, you've got a written...
Parks and Rec, no okay. report. Okay. Oh, utilities?
No.
No report.
We didn't meet.
All right, it is me.
It
All right.
You.
We had a very good discussion in Finance Committee. It's nice to have a full committee and new people to bring new eyes and lots of questions. They're really putting Ron through his paces. And I think they recommended approval of the warrant register and to receive and file the financial reports. I think I did want to pull the board item, amending and updating the district's investment policy.
Right. We'll get to that as soon as we finish up this.
Discuss that later. Right. But that was, we changed the language a little bit. I'll explain that more when I pull it. And that's, yeah, it was a great meeting. And that's pretty much what I have. Any questions on financial report or FAC? Okay. No ESAC. No BMC. Any director's announcements of district and community interest reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars? Maybe some will come up. Let's see, appointment of district advisory committee chairpersons and vice chairpersons. Is that something we do this meeting, or will Marshall do that?
Marshall would typically do that. We provided a list of the current, and I would say let's continue this one to February.
Yeah, I thought the current was good. Our, we'll just continue.
Yeah, since that is a president's.
Okay, prerogative.
We're down one position on the Emergency Services Committee, and other than that, our committees are full. Okay.
Okay, so we'll save that for February. And we'll save the appointments of ad hoc committees for February as well.
Typically, that's the president and vice president that do that. I would recommend that we, you know, that you... Just...
Okay, so I will appoint Marshall and myself,
right.
Which basically means Marshall looks through it and he sends it to me, and that's definitely his specialty more than mine. Do we have any previously asked questions?
We do not.
Okay. All right. Let's take public comment for items on the administrative and committee reports. Oh, do I pull it first? Or do we take comments first?
Pull it first.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pull...
It's 8E.
Yeah, 8E, adopt a resolution amending and updating the district's investment policy for 2024. Does anyone else want to pull anything? So I will take public comment for items 8A through D.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please come up to the podium.
There's no one here. Is there anyone online?
There is not.
Oh, we're nice and boring then. Okay. I'll bring it back to the board.
So I would suggest that you go ahead and make a motion to approve everything but 8E.
Okay.
I will make a motion to approve the administrative committee and committee reports in the consent agenda items 8A through 8D.
I'll second that.
Okay. We don't have any resolutions in there, right?
No.
The resolutions with being pulled. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So I pulled 8E. Because I wanted to, the state of California has a schedule of allowable investments, and in our update, it was a little bit truncated. And I would like to reinstate what we had before, which is the full page of allowable investments. Many of them we may never choose to do. Market conditions change, and what might be best for us might change. And I want us to have all the choices. So with that, I think when we finance committee approved for the resolution for amending and updating the investment policy, we made a change from what's in the packet to include the entire allowable investment instruments per the state government. And Ron's not including the table because he says the list could change. So if we just say that we can do whatever the state approves, then we don't have to update our financial policy because of that.
Right. And what I have up here is the language. I gave you the amended Exhibit A and had it highlighted what we're adding. So basically, this statement or this section was in the existing investment policy. It dropped out, and finance committee wanted to be added back in. So basically, we create a new section 7A7 that has the same language from the existing policy, which is on the screen here. So basically, if the board agrees, we would just make a recommendation to adopt the resolution and updating as amended tonight with that language.
Oh, and you made us a slide. Thank you.
Right. So here's the language. And then I gave you the hard copy just so you could see how it fits into the entire investment policy.
All right. Does the board have any questions?
And public comment for that.
All right, let's open up public comment for agenda item 8E.
If you'd like to make a public comment, please come up to the podium.
And there's no one in the boardroom. So, all right, I'll bring it back to committee. Or I'm sorry, the board. I'd bring it back to the board.
Hey, I recommend the board adopt resolution 2024-01 amending and updating the district's investment policy as amended.
Oh, second.
All right. And I believe we need a roll call vote because it's a resolution.
Yes. Director Sasenya.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes. All right. Future agenda items. Are there any requests from the board for future agenda items? Nope.
I don't know if it's an agenda item really or not. I just, at the LOCAC meeting last month, there was a large discussion about the future of Sunnyside School. And apparently the school district wants to sell it. And it's a community asset. I think they need to offer it to the county at first. I'm not sure how that whole process plays out. But I think we should keep an eye on that. Through Parks and Rec, LOCAC is going to be talking about it an awful lot. Mm-hmm. I just think it's something to keep an eye on. It's a community asset. Whatever way we can be involved in that discussion, I think would be good.
Yeah, thanks so, for your LOCAC report where you went into that. That was good.
Well, you inspired me because you gave better LOCAC reports than my original ones. And so I just thought.
I like what people have to say.
Absolutely. No, we need to know. The whole point is not just what we reported to LOCAC. It's what happens there that we need to know about.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Do you have any comments on that, Ron?
Oh, duly noted. Yeah, we are aware of that. And yeah. It'll be an interesting conversation because with the county having budget issues, where they land on that. But that said, then what does the community want to do? So,
yeah,
I start with the question, didn't the community provide the money to buy the resource for the school district? I mean, isn't the community asset?
Well,
I want to start at that basic level.
I think it's a good point, but in
Matthew, it is their resource.
When we Matthew and I talked with the staff from the school board, they're in their own little silo. So
I understand
They don't look at it as it's school property,
right?
So anyway,
the railroad is a sovereign nation. These weird things happen,
right? So we'll keep an eye on that one.
I guess I'd be curious. Say it were to be bought by the county or whomever, don't they rent out part of that to Cal Fire? I'd be curious what the cash flow on that is. If it's
that's what I'm saying, there's just a rule. We need to know. We need to stay informed.
Because for sure, it'd be nice to keep that under control of the community.
Mm-hmm. Did they ask Gibson that? At LOCAC,
he was not there.
Well, that would be a good thing to see. Mm-hmm. What he says or not.
Okay, well, that's good to know. We'll keep our eye on that.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Any closing board comments?
I want to thank the people who came tonight to talk about wind farm energy. Stay informed. Just stay informed, everyone. This is your community. Whatever you might think you know about it, stay informed, learn about it. Maybe because This year marks the 40th year I'll be in this town. Last month was 20 years since my first CSD meeting. You know, some things kind of change your life now and then. And then this is a big one for our community. So just stay informed. That's all.
I just want to add a little thanks to now director or past president for the, I don't know how many at the time since Samia, but thank you for the last year. Good job.
Yeah.
Thank Mr. Buns. Thank Mr. Buns. I think, you know, the president kind of acts as a sounding board. The general manager explains what's going on. And if you can't explain it to the board president, then he probably knows he's got to try something, you know, but that's kind of all I do. All I did anyway.
You're understating what you did this last year. It was a difficult year.
It was a tough year. No, I'm ready for 2024. Let's say goodbye to 2023.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for your service.
Thanks, Chuck.
No. All right. Well, with that, I guess I'll wish everyone a happy new year. Yeah. May it be better.
Yeah.
And I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, everyone.
Fine job for stepping in and filling in.